Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Welcome back to Business Resolutions. My guests, Luis Alvarez and Tito Alvarez of Mendez & Company. And Tito was mentioning that a critical moment was this philosophy of giving more importance to the brand and not so much a price, because if you build up the brand, price becomes secondary. And Luis, as you took on this philosophy from Tito as a critical moment, tell us how you implement this philosophy.
Well, I think different from the groceries at that time where Tito was speaking about, now the groceries division has a lot of brand names. The liquors division has always been served with suppliers that have their specific brands. But I think one fundamental difference between Mendez and many and sometimes other distributors is, for example, in the case of beers, all the other competing brands have their own offices in Puerto Rico, and they run their own marketing from those offices. And what they expect the distributors to become a box mover. The case of Heineken, they have never had an office in Puerto Rico until 5 years ago, and then they closed that office. But during the transition from 1985 to 2005, 2007, the whole responsibility for the marketing was on the liquors division, and that allowed us to develop the brand in a way that the communication message was respecting the brand essence in a way that it was relevant to local idiosyncrasy. And I think that's been the success of Heineken. But we had not only the fact that they were not here, we had the need to develop that capacity, but we assumed the challenge and responsibility with lots of passion. And we did the same thing then with Black Label when we transferred Dewar's White Label to Bacardi, and we got a Black Label. Beth Glico is another fantastic story, and it has been my philosophy, my operational philosophy within the liquors division. We're not box movers; we're brand builders. And then it happened also with Grey Goose, and now we have our biggest challenge, which is a new beer that should be coming to market in about 3 weeks. Mendez & Company is part owner of that brewery in Ponce, but the brewery it's making the liquid. The branding exercise is handled 100% by the liquors division at Mendez. That's, I mean, UPS or FedEx, they're much better than we are moving boxes and logistics. Building brand, I think that's a craftsmanship, and I think that's what we're
doing. There's one other brand that comes to my mind, of course, is the champagne.
Beflico.
And that was a person came from the headquarters, and again, just like Heineken, really exalted what you have achieved. So tell us about the champagne. That has that been consistent throughout Mendez? When did that come in? Did you go from white to black like the Scotch?
Well,
from
no,
Beck,
but
from Beck to Heineken. I mean, did you have another black and white?
Yes, we did. I'm gonna let Tito answer that, because before we had Beflico, we used to have another brand.
Yeah,
in the champagne area.
Yeah, we used to have Pommerie and Grenot in the champagne. Yeah. That's right.
And how did it go to the what people call it La Viuda, because we can't pronounce the English.
For some reason, I think it was imported by Dávila Hermanos.
Dávila Hermanos, that's
and
right.
And I think
they were handling the distribution of through Dávila Hermanos, Veuve Clicquot, and Bernard Chapar was the export manager at that time, and he was the one that he approached us, and he did, at the beginning we didn't see it clear, you know, and later on we made a change.
That was about what year?
I can't remember that. I can't remember.
I think 1962, 1965.
Probably so. Yeah.
A while back. Yeah. It was 62 when I graduated from high school, and I'm pretty old.
No, I think it was about that. But yes, once again, very passionate individual, Bernard Chapard, and he had fantastic lines. And one of the lines that I always carry on, it's there's no greatness without craziness.
Yeah,
sin locura no hay grandeza.
See.
And I have traced that line back to the source, and it's been out there for some time. And he was definitely very crazy, but he was the greatest. And like Davide Markovic mentioned 3 weeks ago, they don't sell the liquid; they just sell the joy that the liquids bring.
That's right.
And that's been the philosophy of Veuve Clicquot. Fantastic brand, number one once again in the champagne market in Puerto Rico, and probably one of the few markets which is number one, because in the States it's Moët, which happens to be the owners of Veuve Clicquot. So Louis Vuitton Moët Hennessy, they own Moët, they own Dom Pérignon, they own Veuve Clicquot, they own La Grande Dame, they own Cru, and they own the other one. It's I'll come up with the name now. It's
you know, there's another widow, because they say aquí la viuda for yeah. for that for. Yeah. But there's another widow, ¿verdad? There's a Spanish.
Yes.
But tell us about, you know, that, because that's another champagne that you've been successful in.
It's very interesting, because Widow is part of the Freixenet group, and they have Segura Viuda, but they also have Canas Nubiola and Aria. And those brands, we started working with those brands probably 20 years ago. And at that time, once again, it was a different market composition, where Freixenet was a market leader. That's not the case anymore. It's all by the same manufacturer in a different distributor. But now Seguras Viuda has claimed the leadership in the Cava segment of sparkling wines.
Yeah, so okay. You can't call that champagne. That's
no, it's not. It's not a sparkling wine.
But you've achieved a good market share with that.
Very much
as
so.
An alternative to the French champagne.
Very good, and it's a very, very nice quality.
In terms of Méndez, you know, going through these years, Méndez has always been involved with, especially the two of you, in civic and philanthropic areas. And in that, where do you think, Tito, where do you think the idea of getting involved with philanthropy and giving back to the community, is that something from your parents that arrived from Irma? Where do you think
Irma had a great deal to do with that, but I think Luis was the responsible for that, because he started with the idea when he was studying high school with the Marista brothers, and then
That was to create funds for a scholarship for
That's right. Create a scholarship fund. And then he started with the Heineken Jazz Fest. And they are sending students, you know, with the capability of being able to study music at
Berkeley.
At Berkeley College of Music. Now they changed the name to a college school College right. of Music, Berkeley. And they opened up a new school in Valencia, Spain, which I was the first time I was invited to attend Valencia. For the first time I visited Valencia, and because of the opening of that school in Berkeley, in mm-hmm. Valencia, Spain.
Please, besides the music, the scholarships, these programs, and the Heineken Jazz. What other areas have you been? I know you were with the Chamber of Commerce.
I was with the Chamber of Commerce many years ago. The ones that I keep close to my heart now, other than what I do through Berkeley as a trustee and also because of the program of Berkeley in Puerto Rico, es la Casa Niños Manuel Fernández Juncos. I've never been in the board. I'm part of a group of outstanding individuals. We call ourselves Los Amigos de la Casa, and every year we do a fundraising event back to the 70s. Which raises between $80,000 to $90,000, and of course it's easy to ask people for money. It's hard to get money from people, but it's even harder to get the money. And after they give it to you, they say, "Wow, it was a hell of a party!"
Right.
And consistently, we have made this event the second or third week of September, and it has become an institution. The event itself, I think, Casa Niños Manuel Fernández Juncos, which is the oldest orphanage in Puerto Rico. It's a great facility, and they deserve all the help they
can
get.
They're over 100 years.
They're over 100 years. It's the oldest one.
Yeah.
Then the other thing that I do, which you are familiar with, it's the El Fideicomiso del Tribunal Supremo. I think it's important from the civic point of view that the citizens of Puerto Rico understand that all the fights that we hear between the Ejecutivo and the Legislativo, there's a third constitutional branch of power that is the one that that balances and makes society function, not only from the legal or criminal point of view, which is what people think when we talk about courts, but also from economic development, from regular citizen responsibilities and so on. And Fideicomiso del Tribunal Supremo, I think it's a fantastic.
Well, thank you. I want to thank both of you for joining
time,
us
and we have a lot of work
sharing your experiences really with our audience. And I want to congratulate you again for the great success that Mendez has come, and wish you the best as you move forward.
Thank you,
Jorge. Thank you. Have a good day.
Gracias, Jorge. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining our Business Resolutions discussion with Jorge Gonzalez. You're invited to join Jorge and his guest each week at 8:06 Saturday morning, 2:06 Monday afternoon, and 6:06 Friday evening.